everybody. We are back, and we're talking Serena Williams tennis controversy and more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
When I start body rolling,
you know what the situation is, right? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I'm your host, Daryl Christian, and joining me is the gorgeous Courtney Stewart.
Hello,
I
everybody.
I like your hair color, Courtney. Look really
Thank
good.
You. This was my summer hair color moving into fall. I'm about to come back like Tamar in like 2 weeks. Y'all ain't ready.
Wait, you gonna do the shave?
I really want to so bad.
You got the face
I'm
for it.
I'm over hair, and I haven't done it in like 15 years.
It'd be
like,
dope for you, actually.
All my hair off and just been done. Not that this is my hair, y'all know. Whatever. You're not about it.
You bought it? You know, I can never tell.
Daryl's always confused. He'd be like, what? For real?
I can't ever tell bald hair. I mean, sometimes I can. When I can tell, that's bad, actually. Because then I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm
just bored. We need to change up. It's fall.
You.
It's a new season. You know?
I feel
you. Something different.
Well, you know, it's so funny you say change up because we're going to be changing up, actually. I'll go ahead and just, you know, spill the beans, I guess.
Spill the beans.
So we are reformatting our show this week. It's going to be called The Trend. We're launching it next week. It's going to be a similar format to this week, but we're going to add a couple little bells and whistles to it to, you know, give it a little edge. Give it a little bit more edge, you know? So please tune in, tell everybody, and hopefully you'll like the new format.
We're doing a little refresh.
A little refresh.
A little refresh.
You know what I'm saying?
What we got going on, for sure. So that's exciting. But we're into the fall season, and we're going to start talking about some more stuff.
Let's do it. It's a lot of stuff to talk about.
We do have quite a bit of stuff to talk about, because we were gone during some really important stories.
I know, right?
So it was really hard to select what we were going to talk about today. I just have to throw in that, like, moment of Nike-ness that we didn't get to talk about that kind of blew up last week. Damn, white people, damn. And I'm gonna just leave it at that. But I have to know, are you watching NFL right now?
I mean, I have not had a chance to really watch a lot of things as of late, but I plan on watching it. Yes,
plan on watching it. All right.
What about you?
Well, it's really funny because I'm still torn. Like, I wasn't in my adult life. I don't watch sports.
Okay,
for reasons that over drinks one day I will tell you guys.
Okay,
but
maybe that'll be on the trend.
Might be on the trend. Nothing bad, but yeah. So this whole NFL thing, when they decided they were going to fine the guys for kneeling and all of that, I was just like, oh, we're done. You will not get my viewership and my money because I just think it's horrible. Like, I just think it's the worst thing ever. But at the same time, football and like Sunday and family and dinners, and I'm starting family dinners at my house. You can come sometime. Like, I feel like football is kind of a part of that, and I don't know how I'm going to get away from it and stick to my guns.
Yeah, well, it's also interesting too, because there's an element to me. I mean, yes, I'll be watching football, but there's an element that I feel like, you know, if the players really just, like, all of them just didn't show up to their games, you know, like took it to like the next level with it. But I understand they can't, you know, there's contracts,
there's
all that stuff. But that would really hit the NFL.
I just wish
and then they can't
all kneel.
Right.
But
or
I
that.
Understand that everybody
Everyone
doesn't
has
agree.
Different views.
Everybody's like, no,
people
it's
have different
not.
Viewpoints.
But like, it's just really frustrating. But okay, so we not really talk about that story, but I just felt like we had to throw that in just because, you know, it started last week and all of that was fun. But speaking of sports, we also had an amazing story that came out this week. I wanted to start off by celebrating what actually occurred first, and that was the U.S. Open this past weekend. So it's been a week now.
It's been a week, yeah.
Naomi Osaka, who is only 20 years old, won the U.S. Open
against
her, like, idol, Serena Williams.
Yeah.
And it was her first Grand Slam win. It's the first Grand Slam title for a Japanese a representative from Japan, a first Grand Slam singles title, from what I understand. And she's this young woman who grew up watching Serena Williams and her sister play and just, you know, has hammered it out and did a great job and is an excellent and amazing athlete. And she won, and she won, and she won big money, and we should celebrate her, and she's awesome, and congratulations, Naomi Osaka.
Absolutely.
But for all of you all who were watching and paying attention and everything, you know that the situation with Serena was a little bit crusty because we had an umpire that seemed a little bit sexist, maybe also a little bit racist. And they came hard for Miss Serena Williams during that match and basically gave away a game and gave away a point at one point, claiming and accused her of cheating by taking coaching from her coach, which apparently is not allowed, and for misbehavior, basically, because she slammed her racket at one point.
Yeah.
So the reason it's the whole big ordeal is because everybody's saying it's really sexist because male tennis players
all
have been known to be psychos.
Historically
crazy as hell on the court. And they are never subjected to the amount of penalty the way that Serena was. And so there's all kinds of videos running around about showing the guys, like, doing some wild shit. Pete Sampras, I think it was. Is it
Pete Sampras? Or John McEnroe. I mean, go back to John McEnroe.
Let's go this. Like, they were doing some wild shit.
He was cussing people out on the
court. Beating on the court. It was just some wild stuff. So everybody's kind of like, what the heck? Like, Serena definitely, she admits, like, I was passionate. I was upset. Like, he accused me of cheating. She demanded an apology from him, like, on the court. She called him a thief.
She did.
But she didn't call him, like, out his name, like, motherfucker. Nothing. Like, she didn't say anything that insane. She called him a thief. But she's been fined. I think it's $17,000for it. And, of course, she did not win the U.S. Open. But the thing that was kind of sad about it, a bittersweet, because Naomi, who this is her first big win, she wins against the amazing, astonishing, and powerful Serena Williams, and the crowd was booing. And it wasn't that they were booing against Naomi, they were just booing about the situation, but Serena stood there with Naomi and gave her a hug, and she said, she whispered something in her ear, and everybody was like, oh God, what did Serena say to you? And Naomi did an interview, and she just said, quote, this is what Serena said to her, she said she was proud of me, and that I should know that the crowd isn't booing me. I was really happy she said that. And I was like, aw, Naomi, you po' girl, you was out there pushing hard and trying to win, and your win gets muddled because, I mean, I personally watched and thought the umpire was, like, ridiculous, so.
Yeah, I mean, from a male viewpoint, I thought it was very much sexist because, mm-hmm. like you said, and like we know with the stories, male athletes in tennis have been known to do the same things. And I agree as well. Like, she didn't call him out of his name.
No.
She didn't cuss him out. She was upset.
Yeah.
And she called him a thief. And for them now, it's interesting because the U.S. Open Association has been defending her.
Mm-hmm.
But then the International Tennis Foundation has been siding with, what's his name, Ramos.
Carlos Ramos.
Who was the umpire.
Mm-hmm.
And now he, you know, of course, is trying to get all of them to, they're saying that they're not, they don't want to.
They're going to boycott her and not give any
any judge or what do you call it? Any
refereeing
at her games?
Yeah.
If she continues, you know, kind of in the sport, and I'm like, really?
Do you think there really is? Because there's a theory that there's like a kind of a conspiracy to push Serena out of the sport.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I think
I kind of agree with it at this point because it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's like, just let the girl go in and break the record because she's trying to, what is it? She needs to get another Grand Slam to beat whatever the record of 22 is. What I think it's only like one more that she needs or something. And it's like, just go and let her play her butt off and win another Grand Slam. And she might be like, all right, I'm going out on top and leave it like that. But I don't think she'll play till she really can't play no more.
I think she will too, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in her so much. You know, it's like, this is, I mean, she's done this sport. She's been,
she's already defied.
6, 7 years old, you know, so.
She's defied all, I mean, because most of the, especially women players, like, I think Martina was probably the oldest that played.
Yeah.
But, like, in general, like, to have played this long and at this age, I mean, she's 37 at this point.
Yeah.
She's moving out of what would be normally the
but here's
peak
my thing. They do this all the time in all sports. Basketball, they do it in, you know, football. If you are still able to play, what does it matter what your age is?
That was true.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, the point is that even as you age, even if you're still able to play, your body is not optimal, probably.
Right.
And, you know, you've played this many years, like injuries and things like that aren't healing the same way they used to or doing the best. So some people bow out to...
Well, they have to serve their bodies. She's not one who has to do that.
She doesn't have to, but she might want to at some point to preserve her body and health for her child. But tennis is also not football, you know, right. like in terms of being beat up and that kind of thing. But the training is still hardcore. Yeah. Girl, I don't know, but you still winning in my book, Sabrina. I thought you should have won that. And I loved your tutus.
I did. I don't want to see you, like, leaving. So just keep doing what you're doing.
I want her to wear the cat suit again. I was mad about that, too. How are they going to take the cat suit away?
Well, that's a whole other thing, too. They're talking about the outfits.
Yeah, and, that's...
But then what was the white tennis player who mocked her?
Jesus.
I can't think of her name right now.
I can't either. But
Steve, I don't know if you know the name of the tennis player that mocked Serena, but it was like a whole thing.
I can look it up here.
Oh, I just don't remember.
it's okay. But it's if you guys know, you know, hit us up in our YouTube feed. But
I feel like most of us side with Serena these days.
Absolutely.
But I just don't understand why, after all these years, you would think the tennis associations would be like, superstar, yes, like she's done it for so long and she is so amazing. Like she's like literally probably the greatest athlete ever at this point, like ever.
Yeah.
And in tennis.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would feel like they would like want to capitalize on that instead of trying to like shut her off and shut her down. And
well, it goes back to the sexism.
Sexism and racism.
And racism,
because she a big old black girl doing big girl black girl things. And y'all mad.
And very, you know, outspoken about it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's like three triple threats.
All kinds of threats. Yeah. Well, anyway, congratulations to both women. They were two women of color playing in the U.S. Open final, and that's always awesome to see. So congratulations, ladies, and just keep up the good work.
Yep.
Speaking of good work, we have Miss Viola Davis back in the stories this week because she is promoting her new film, Widows.
Yep.
And she's at the Toronto Film Festival, and she's been doing some interviews, and a little situation came up again. People asked her about shows or films that she's regretted taking or not taking, and she spoke about her role on The Help, which most would say was probably one of the biggest movies she's done, and it got her a nomination for an Oscar. And there's a lot of, we've talked about the film back a few years ago when it was out and whether or not it, you know, another movie about maids and that kind of thing. And so she was asked about how she felt about the role, and she said basically that was a role that she regretted taking, and she said this is why. Quote, I just felt at the end of the day that it wasn't the voices of the maids that were heard. I know Abilene was her character. I know Minnie. They're my grandma. They're my mom. And I know if you do a movie where the whole premise is I want to know what it feels like to work for white people and to bring up their children in 1963, I want to hear how you really feel about it. I never heard that in the course of the movie. And end quote. And the movie was critically acclaimed, obviously, and did really well at the box office and made all kinds of money and made lots of people rich and all of that.
Didn't it sort of blow up Octavia's career?
Yeah,
a little
it kind
bit?
Of blew up her career or too. Made, to made her took more it to another level.
Level yeah,
for sure.
Level.
It took her to another level for sure. And one thing that Viola also mentioned is that the relationships with the women and the other people on set that she made were amazing, and she would never trade that for the world. They were fantastic. And speaking of the woman who played Minnie, whose name I just dropped, that you just said.
Octavia.
Her relationship with what's her face?
Red hair.
Emma I'm like
Stone.
Zero Dark
Emma
Thirty.
Stone.
No, not that redhead. Zero Dark Thirty girl. Oh my God, she played the like cute like Marilyn Monroe type lady in The Help, whose husband and like none of the girls liked her.
I don't know why I can't think of her.
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain, y'all. Yes.
Okay, anyway, so that relationship.
I feel like I'm playing some board game with you.
Like, no.
But
that relationship built for them, and Jessica Chastain has sort of been a part of working with Octavia to get them equal pay on films, and they have a great relationship. And there was like a whole story about the next film that they wanted to do together.
Right, yes.
And all of that.
Yep.
So beautiful relationships made, but the voices of the maids, they did not feel were actually heard.
Basically, what they're feeling is that the movie was Hollywood. You know, they put the Hollywood spin
on it. It was like the Gone with the Wind version of slavery.
Yeah,
it was
the glossed over version, but really happened.
Yes. Yeah. So that was it. And the other interesting part about this quote is that some people kind of were coming for her online, like, why would you say that? It was a great movie. It brought you to the next level. Blah 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 blah. And Ava DuVernay said The Help was the last film that she worked on for PR, because for those of you who don't know, before she was an amazing director and filmmaker, she did PR for films.
Yep.
And The Help was the last one, and she vibed with Viola completely on this comment, and she said, that is exactly the reason why that was the last film I did PR on. I quit, and I decided to start making my own films.
I love that they're supporting each other.
For sure. I mean? It's amazing.
It's it's nice to see, especially when we got everything that's going on with Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. But that's a different subject.
All the stories that we were.
I know. We ain't even gonna get. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there real quick.
But we chose otherwise. But it's all good.
It's all good.
Oh God.
But yes, no. Good.
Cardi B, you threw that shoe, girl. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Actually, I do a pop off. It's an Instagram story each week, and that's going to be our next one. So check it out on my Instagram very soon because we have a lot to say
Cardi
about that.
Cardi B throwing that.
Cardi
shoe.
B throwing that stiletto.
And she don't regret it not once.
She said she throw it again, according to the social media
she
today.
She probably throw it again right on site. Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to hear obviously more about all of these stories that happen in music, entertainment, pop culture, all over the place, you guys, obviously you're here. So you kind of know about Black Hollywood Live, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more. BHL fans, you guys, Black Hollywood Live is the first urban digital broadcast network in existence. So since its inception, BHL has prided itself on creating outstanding content in all areas, from the news to music to politics to lifestyle and entertainment. And we've not only given voice to the often underserved Black and Latino communities that we are a part of,
yes.
We've also provided new hosts with some of the dopest areas and places and platforms to exercise their talents because, you know, coming out here to Hollywood ain't an easy thing to do. So sometimes you need to get your foot wet somewhere.
A lot of people blown up.
You know, and we've opened the doors to many of these people who have blown up that you see on many of the networks. Yeah. Okay, so BHL has also done the same for many of Hollywood's A-lists. We've brought in all kinds of interviews from all over the place with some amazing people, including Oprah.
She gave us a shout out several times.
Oprah Winfrey has made multiple BHL appearances. You guys need to go back in the archives and check some of that out. But now, Black Hollywood Live needs you guys' help. So how you can do that is by looking at that little red button on YouTube that y'all all know about, and it's called the subscribe button. Make sure you click on the button and subscribe to our YouTube channel, because subscribing to our YouTube channel will help us find new shows, help you find new shows, and help us be able to continue to create all these shows.
Absolutely.
For you guys, because we got to have the support of the viewership in order to keep bringing you guys shows. And if you're worried about annoying notifications that you get on your phone, because and really at this time in life, just get a Gmail account, because you got your YouTube,
right.
And all the notifications get, you know, filtered out to another whole page, and I'll never look at that page, and I got like 8,000 of those things. So anyway, don't be. You can always make it also optional to get the notifications, but you want to know when we're going to be on air live, because you want to join in the chat and conversate, because that's a word, with us every Thursday. So you can do the notifications or you cannot. So make sure you hit the subscribe button right now, you guys. It's easy and it helps us to continue our work. Let us know that you did subscribe to us, and put it in the comments and give us some more comments about the show and things you want to talk about and things you want to hear about and all that good stuff. And thank you guys so much for being fans of us for so long, because we've been here a few years now. So we appreciate your love. Make sure you keep spreading the love and telling somebody, tell your friend, tell your cousin, tell your mama, tell your auntie, come subscribe to BHL.
And follow us on social media, too.
Do that, too. Yes, we're at BHL Online. Yep. I'm at Stuart Starlet. That's Daryl Kristen. Follow him.
All right. Thank you, Courtney.
You're welcome.
So I'm inspired.
We
by
just
that.
Be like chatting it up, yeah. All day. How fast can you talk? I can talk really fast. How do you? Whatever.
That was good.
That's all
that was
good.
Really good.
We just want to let y'all know what's really going on. So, you know.
Well, there's still more stories.
Because there's
that are
always
going
stories.
On.
There's
always.
More stories.
More stories.
Yes.
So we'll move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Yes.
EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Well, we sort of talked about this story several months ago at the beginning of the year,
yes.
Around February, because there was this alleged episode of Black-ish that.
Right.
Was Trump-based and very political and anti-Trump,
yes.
Overall, that this mystery that was out there that no one ever really saw because ABC pulled it. Well, the Black-ish creator, Kenya Barris, has been very vocal as of late about that episode that mysteriously disappeared. The episode was called Please, Baby, Please, and explored the NFL kneeling controversy that mm-hmm. also surrounded a lot of things with Trump. And so the episode had focuses on Anthony Anderson's character Dre, and he's giving his interpretation of real life events that are going on, and he's presented it to his baby son Devontae.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was supposed to air around February 22nd, I believe,
yeah.
Or 27th, excuse
yeah,
me,
obviously.
Of this year. And then I think what I was reading and heard is that everyone approved it early on.
Thought
it was going to
go yeah.
great. Everyone was excited. Tracy Ellis Ross was very vocal about
yeah.
it as well. And then all of a sudden it's mysteriously shelved and, you know, not seen.
And we got a rerun.
And we got a rerun, yes. So ABC's executives were rumored to have shelved it because they were pushing pushing to count more or bring in more conservative viewers in the wake of Trump's electoral victory. So they felt like this might offend some folks, and then they didn't want to do it. So, you know, Kenya moved on from ABC. He is now has, they say, a really big,
a real big, real deal, big, honey.
Real big dollar deal with Netflix. So he is going on the circuit right now telling everybody what the deal is. Yeah. You know, what do you think about them pulling the episode?
I mean, so there's a whole, I think part of, I don't remember if it was part of Kenya's interview or if it was just the writer commenting on it, but saying how a lot of these network shows try to show balance. Like, right. They don't want to be too far left or too far right or whatever. And it made me laugh almost because I was like, wasn't Roseanne about to come on in March?
Right.
So it wasn't like as a network, they were solely left winged. Right. And obviously, Black-ish, if you've watched Black-ish, is a very specific perspective.
Yeah.
And I would think creatively, if you are supporting the honesty of that creativity, then you would understand that it's not like it's every episode that they're like pushing this, as they would say, left-wing agenda. Like, this was a very specific, important situation in the Black community and Black-ish community that is discussed and should be discussed. And to show that on a show that is about Black people just does not seem like a strange, wild, oh my God, we being too political type of situation. Yeah. So I think that was a real bad call on ABC's part. I think, shout out to Kenya Barris, I know how you feel once you quit a job and you be like, I'm going to tell it all. Bump everybody up in here. I'm free.
Right.
And I can say what I want and I don't care. Because he's really out here just being like, yeah.
He is. I mean.
Take that.
Well, here, also, my thing is like, look how many times we see shows on TV and with Black folks, the way that we've been portrayed with certain things on shows or the subject of African Americans on certain shows that we're watching and they don't shelve those stories.
To something like The Help.
Right.
That's a comfortable way for white people to deal with the uncomfortability of racism and racial politics.
Right.
This came from the voice of a Black person, so it was a lot more uncomfortable because it was more in your face, probably.
Right.
And that's not comfortable. Which is interesting, though, because isn't the ABC head a Black lady?
Well, I was trying to figure out.
Was she there?
I don't know if she was there then. That's why I need to look that up to see if she was actually there. Because, and even if she was there, it may have been also that she was freshly new to it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not all her
decision. It's not all her decision. And you also don't want to come in just like chopping off.
But the network is involved from the script. Like, the network has people, from what I am aware of, that like can sit in on read throughs or, you know, come like get approves, and like they're not free to just be like, here it is, we've shot this whole thing, you have no idea what's coming your way, I think. I mean, I could be wrong. So it's just whatever. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember what happened right around February that would have made him like be like, it's a little tight.
It was the mass killing where the people got ran over.
Oh, Charlottesville?
Charlottesville. It was around in that time period, I believe, because that was mentioned as well.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, it's around that time period. They were being sensitive about that as well, which, you know, I understand. But as far as, like, trying to bring in more conservative viewers,
I mean, you literally had Roseanne on deck.
Right.
Like, coming. And everybody knew about Roseanne coming back for, like, a year before it came.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong.
She was very vocal of what she was going to be talking about on the show.
And I had no, and I'm not saying that I have any issue with that. I actually thought that's why I was actually okay with a Roseanne reboot, because I thought it was an excellent way in terms of television to sort of show that side of the politics that are happening right now.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, you suck, ABC. Sorry. Sorry, you lose on that. And now Kenya's gone.
Yeah, so
are we really going to keep, is network TV really have to just be saucy, sexually only? Like, that's the only sauce you get on network TV. Because, like, now, remember back in the day, like, you wouldn't see, like, having sex at, like, 9 o'clock.
No.
But, like, Scandal came and it's like, we humping on tables and in lingerie at, like, 9 o'clock.
Right.
But you upset about a Black man talking to his Black son about...
See, I personally think it's also, like, a bigger issue. I think it had something to do with just somebody there, like, Trump's people somehow called somebody and was making a stink.
Possibly.
I don't know. That's my conspiracy theory. I have no proof of this, but that is what I think. I believe that he somehow caught wind of this and did not want to be squashed. That's my conspiracy theory.
I don't think that's so unfounded. If y'all catch Kathy Griffin on The Breakfast Club, I think she was on yesterday or whatever, the interview is up on YouTube, and she talks about how They're talking about the five people that basically signed checks in Hollywood and who's really up Trump's ass and that kind of thing. And so it's not unfounded if she is accurate. It's funny that you just say that. But
I mean, that's what I think. You know?
Ooh, honey.
But, listen, let Kenya keep talking. We may find out the extra sauce on it.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah. So we'll see what happens. But he is being very vocal. And I'm not mad at the brother.
Okay.
I'm not mad that extra big deal you got with Netflix either, because you're about to change the game.
I know. Please just hire me, honey, too. Give me some of them checks.
That's right.
I would love a check.
Well, speaking of checks, there's someone whose checks have been messed up for a while because of
a little bit.
Cosby alum Jeffrey Owens, who played Elvin on The Cosby Show for many, many years. Well, we know that he's been in the news the last couple weeks, especially.
It's been like 2.5 weeks.
Because of the shaming of him working at Trader Joe's being a cashier.
By some black people.
I know. But you know, listen.
What?
I know.
What?
I know.
I was like,
but I mean, but you know, unfortunately, we do that to each other. You know, look, sometimes. I mean, look at what's our girl's name? I don't know why I can't remember names today.
I don't know. It's Thursday.
She's on the show with LL Cool J, and her mom is the famous writer. She used to be beautiful, but she got on drugs.
Oh dear Lord, I have no idea who you're talking about.
In the house, it was like
on
in
a
the
show?
House.
Oh, Maya Campbell.
Maya Campbell. Whenever there's lots of videos if you go on YouTube and social media of her. Sort of being drugged out.
Yes, but she's also cracked out. Like, this man was just at work.
He was just at work, right. I'm not comparing the
he
crack.
Wasn't like, ooh,
I'm not comparing
dick,
the crack to that.
Like,
I'm just saying that as far as like, sort of, it's sort of shaming though. It's sort of, I mean, it's still
shaming,
you know.
But
it's shaming. It's drug shaming.
But when you're behaving ridiculously as opposed to you just trying to work and make a living, like, that's a little different.
Right. Well, this is why I call this like the Cinderella story, because the great thing have come from this, and I really do love this story because of the fact that he was shamed, and Jeffrey was saying that it really hurt his feelings when it blew up on social media and people were making fun of him and they were like, what's up with this dude? He was on the Cosby Show, why is he working at Trader Joe's?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he said that he actually was working there because what a lot of people don't know is that after all the controversy happened with Bill Cosby, when those networks stopped showing the syndicated shows of The Cosby Show, checks stopped being sent. He said, you know, I wasn't getting my checks. I have to support my family. He said, I actually, in between these acting gigs, this is something that is a supplement of income that I can use. And you get, from what I understand, you get a percentage of your groceries at Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's
you
and Costco.
You might see me there.
Trader Joe's and Costco's are some real good, flexible type of jobs with some good benefits.
Don't shame me if you see me up in there with my Trader Joe's little shirt on that says Daryl. That's all I'm saying. Because you're going to come to my house
and
you're
going to
have a lot of snacks.
So, exactly.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, all right? So well, we found out after that story went global, is that Tyler Perry actually came in and swooped up Jeffrey and offered him a TV deal on the Have or the Have Nots. Yeah. I think it was like a
five or six episode
deal.
Arc, so he'll be on there for a few episodes.
Which
That's
was
awesome.
Great. That made me feel good. And then also, it was just announced this week, he has a new gig. He's going to be occurring or have a role on NCIS New Orleans.
Hey.
He will appear in the 6th episode of season 5, which will be sometime in October.
Okay.
So, you know what? There is a happy ending to this story.
There is a happy ending. But Nicki Minaj, where your $25,000 at?
Oh, right. Nicki Minaj ain't paying $25,000
because
she said
she
too busy hiding from stilettos
Venmo.
And going on radio shows and doing some long rants.
Tis true. But actually, my favorite part about the story, other than the fact that like people supported him so much, like I appreciate that so much. But I also appreciate that it sort of shined a light on
shaming.
No, Hollywoodness. Okay. Because people assume, because maybe you were on a show or you did, you know, this great commercial that they see all the time or whatever, that like you paid. Like paid good forever.
No.
But
not a reality.
Hollywoodness is a constant hustle.
Constant.
Like unless you get to that upper echelon, which is not unlike American society, there's like
1%
of people in, we'll say even in like the actor union, that are making like millions and millions of dollars and never have to worry about money.
Right.
The rest of us are just working people from gig to gig, from check to check from the most part. So I think that, because people are like, oh my God, but you're like famous. Like how, like we've seen you like on our TVs for our entire lives. Yeah. And he got paid and probably got paid well when he was on the show. Yeah. And residuals do okay, but you still have to do other work because it's not enough to right. continue
and,
to survive.
And we don't
on.
Know his finance. Like, he has a family.
Yeah,
we don't
he's
know
got a family. Who knows
what his
like,
mortgage
what,
is or what
you know
his
what I'm saying?
You know, car payments are or whatever.
And he's no schlub. He's college educated, yeah. went to Yale University. He's yeah. been a professor. And like the other thing that, as being an artist of sorts on television or film or whatever, is that you have to be flexible. So it's not like you can take these amazing. Like, he was a professor for however long, but yeah. he didn't want to take tenure because he wanted to still act.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have the ability to do that if he was committed to this other job. So it's a crazy balancing act. And I think that that actually showed people, like, look, it's not just people that, like, oh, you fell off and you ain't, like, unfortunately, like, in Maya Kimball's case, like, drugs got in the way and that kind of thing. You can be struggling financially just
Absolutely.
Because you haven't gotten your next gig and you're only as good as your next
gig, your last
gig in terms
That's
of
true.
Financials. So I was glad that that kind of got brought up. So,
I almost wish that he was still work at Trader Joe's during this whole...
Oh, he probably will.
You know
I
what I mean? Like, I hope he doesn't
back.
Quit Trader Joe's.
Okay, not don't get it twisted. A 5-episode stint on Have and Have Nots, a cable show, is not going to make bank.
No.
He's going to make a few good... thousands
yeah,
probably
yeah.
if he's got a good yeah. agent to break that out
and then it sounds like it's one episode of NCIS
yeah. I think that's like $1,800
right.
for the day like
yeah.
that's not and
yeah.
great but NCIS is a big show that has a lot of residual payments and
sure.
stuff like that so you'll still get but the residuals ain't
but still,
no
if you
big
only have
checks
one episode,
you know what I'm saying
yeah yeah
so
and if it's new like you know if it's a new episode it's not going to even start airing again for a while you know what I mean so
exactly so I mean hopefully it opens even more doors
that's
and some other
yeah.
great parts will come from it for him but y'all don't play. These tracks is hard to come by out here.
But shout out to Tyler Perry. You
yes.
know what I mean? For real. Like, because I really appreciate that.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
So.
Shout out to Tyler Perry just for being dope as hell and having opportunities available that he can just be like,
you know what?
Come
I got
this.
You a 7-episode deal.
That's what we like.
Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Don't do that. Just like that.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to do this and get out.
Yes. We about to get out of here.
Get out. Yeah.
I know. It went so fast.
Where is your social media? How do we
where
find you?
Where is my social media?
I mean,
I don't know. It's on
you?
Social
What's your name?
Media.
What's your name?
You going to find me, y'all.
Media?
Y'all going to come find me.
You
can find me. I always have different hair, so you never know. So I'm unrecognizable. Anyway, you can find me all over the social needs at Stuart Starlet. And I want to tell y'all, if y'all hanging out in LA at the end of the month, make sure you come to the Catalina Film Festival and check us out. Saturday the 29th, we'll be there.
What's the name of your
Our film
project?
Is called Day of Reckoning.
Okay.
It's a party boat and everything. And you get to hang out with us on the island.
I might go. When is it?
It's last Saturday of September 29th.
We'll see what happens. All right. Well, you can find me at Dariel Christen on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find me on the Reels channel still, doing
Everywhere.
Broken Famous. And I have a new show. If you are a Los Angeles person, I have a show on CBS called This Is LA, which is a lifestyle show. You guys
yeah.
can check it out. Otherwise, check out our pop-off as well. So we'll see y'all next week, and we'll be called The Trend.
The
then.
Trend.
The
then.
Trend. So
we'll
we
be
will
trending,
trending with y'all.
About trending
That's so
stuff.
Funny. We both said the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, peace.
Comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram @BHLOnline. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.